The following is a presentation of Stewed Productions.
This is Interbrews.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Josh. How you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Oh, man, I'm good. I'm in my backyard. I'm trying to level some pavers.
There's a lot of that going around. It's a good day to do some paver leveling, soft ground.
Maybe it isn't, but maybe it is. You know,
I don't know. How is it? Is it working?
I got one. I got one level.
How many?
And I have a lot more that I need to. But that's the hardest part, right? Is getting your first one set, and then you just kind of everything else falls into place.
Yeah, it's good to get your hands in the dirt.
Oh, I got gloves on.
Either way.
Yeah. I mean, I admire those people who really do get their hands in the dirt, but I'm not one of them.
Okay. Do you, so you're saying you got pavers. Do you have any, like, do you have any, like, gardens, flowers, veggies, anything like that out back?
No, I'm in the very early stages of trying to build a pizza oven back here.
Okay.
You know, this is all part of this thinking about my post-apocalyptic life.
Yes.
Well, what am I going to do when I've got all this dough and toppings and sauce, and I've got no way to put it all together into a delicious pie? Well, that's what I'm working on right now. Oh, excuse me. That was my cash register. Let me turn that down. We got orders rolling in for beer right now.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I am really pleasantly surprised. We when I talked to you last, I think it was Tuesday. Was it Tuesday or Wednesday?
Just a few days ago.
And we didn't have any beer. We didn't have any beer to go ready, and yesterday we canned a whole bunch of it, and so we launched our online store. Just to see if anyone would be interested in coming out just to do this whole to go thing that everyone's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And we were eager to take part in it, but I was a bit apprehensive. I thought that, you know, maybe folks wouldn't want to come out just to buy beer to go. But we've had a lot of interest. Everything. Ours is just for our staff, so, you know, all the money is going to the staff that unfortunately we've had to furlough, so this will at least give them something to keep them, to make them less miserable, I guess.
Yeah, on a business side of things, how does that work, like furloughing versus laying off and the benefits thereof?
We are, what we did was Monday, the city of Houston made the announcement, that, you know, restaurants and bars have to close except for to go. And so it made it clear to us that there, most of our staff, almost all of our staff is taproom staff.
Mm-hmm.
And most of our, I guess more importantly, all of our product is either sold in our tap room or it's sold to other on-premise accounts. So we're an all-draft brewery, except for a little bit of cans. So even, you know, we had one employee who works as a sales guy / brewery assistant / taproom manager. Well, even that guy doesn't have a job anymore because everything he did supported some sort of keg sales. Everything everybody did supported some sort of keg sales.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, we don't have a job for anybody. But to answer your question, you know, we're paying everyone for another week, so that they have something, and then we're paying whatever we end up getting from these to-go sales. We'll end up paying over to all the part-time employees. But we want to make sure they can, and we're helping them with that now, is, you know, after they're getting their last official paycheck is going to come on Tuesday. And after that, we want to make sure that if they want to file for unemployment, they can. Mm-hmm. So I think in the eyes of, as my understanding, in the eyes of the Texas Workforce Commission, there's no difference between a furlough and a layoff.
Okay.
If you're not getting paid, you're not getting paid. So if we have to lay them off for them to get unemployment, we'll do that too. But you know, the we want to make sure they can get that if they apply for it. But for practical purposes, what we basically said is, you know, once if we get started back up, you'll have a job if you want it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we can't pay you right now. We just can't. So we are kind of doing two things at once. We're trying to keep a to-go operation going, and that way we can have some beer going to people who want it, and also raise some money for our former employees who need it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we're kind of trying to get our business ready for hibernation. Mm. You know, we don't know how long this is going to be, and we cannot continue to incur expenses while we have no revenue.
Right.
You know, it's been a while since I went to business school, but I'm pretty sure that I think I recall learning something about that, where yeah. you need the revenue if you're going to have expenses. So, we've looked through, and I mean, we've been pretty ruthless through all of our expenses of just saying, if it is not absolutely necessary, we either need to suspend it, you know, put it on hold, or cancel it. Mm-hmm. We just can't incur it. So, you know, we had, for example, there was an expense we had of a service, and they said, well, you know, you can continue receiving the service, and we won't stop service if you stop paying. And I said, well, I don't need the service, and I don't want to incur the expense either. So, you know, what some of these guys will say is, well, you know, we'll continue to charge you for it, and you can just pay us later.
Mm.
And me, I'm like, I don't want to pay you now, and I don't want to pay you later, because I don't want to come out of this hole, you know, if we're shut down for 3 months, I don't want to come back with 3 months of expenses that I haven't paid.
Yeah.
So when I say hibernate, I mean, we're trying to shut down everything so that we can just kind of let this whole thing pass over. Hopefully it's not that long, but if it is, we want to be prepared for it.
Yeah, that's the big $10 trillion. I'm gonna go with trillions now that we're dealing with the
end. Yeah, yeah, you gotta account for all the inflation that's definitely going on right now as we're making money out of thin air.
Yeah, the $50 quadrillion question is,
yeah.
How long will this last? And there's just no way to know. I mean,
I know. I mean, I think it's gonna be longer than the 15 days that Houston told us to shut down for, but.
Yeah.
How much longer? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I know there's talk now of, and I don't have my President Trump live stream, you know, pulled up at the moment, but,
so whatever you're thinking is probably out of date already.
Right. Exactly. That's why one thing I want to do with these conversations, like, okay, so, obviously this podcast is normally done on location, face to face, over beers, you know, really.
Oh man, can't do that now.
I know, it's changed all that. But listen, there's a bit of a blessing. This technology we have right now, you're in your backyard leveling pavers. You could actually be stomping on a paver right now. You could put in some, if you have wireless earbuds, don't let me stop you from working. I can just, you know, bring down the audio if you need to lift something, you know, and breathe out real heavy.
No, I need the excuse to have stuff. I have to be holding the phone right now.
Okay.
So, okay. Yeah.
Just give me the high sign if you see a brick that you need to mush on or
all
something,
right.
You know.
All right. We'll do.
But it's an amazing, like, the technology to be able to talk, you know, for you and I to be able to talk right now, and it sounds really good, and I can keep putting out, you know, just so people can hear and, you know, keep in touch and kind of a little slice of it. It's not the same, but it's still something good. So, I like that.
You know what else?
No.
This is a historical record that you're keeping right now, because when people look back, when we were in school, I remember reading The Diary of Anne Frank.
Mm.
And what was so interesting about that, I mean, you can say a lot of things about it, but is you're at that point, you are watching history unfold from the eyes of someone. Mm-hmm. And you're watching history unfold going forward, right? That Anne Frank was writing those things. Mm-hmm. And she was getting information she was perceiving events as they were happening, which is really different than how most people view history.
Yeah.
You know, people write a textbook or write a historical account after everything happens.
Mm-hmm.
That's not nearly as interesting or as telling as when you watch a record of, like, right now, you and I are talking in the midst of this thing.
Mm.
with only the information that we've gotten to date. And what we were talking 3 or 4 days ago, and that was a different time. Things have changed already so much.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think what we're also doing here, I don't want to compare this in any way at all to The Diary of Anne Frank, but I'm just saying that this is kind of a historical record of, you know, we're taking in the information that we have in real time and speaking our thoughts about what's going on now, and we could look like real, we will look like idiots. I'm sure we look like idiots anyway, but, you know, who knows when we talk again in a few days, how these pavers are going to be leveled out. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, one can pray and hope that the pavers get leveled.
It is hard. I got 8 of them. I have 8 pavers, and
are
it's
they,
really hard.
What are they? They one by one? Are
just
they,
the one by one, yeah.
Oh, that's feet for whatever measurement system they're using deep into the
future.
Oh,
yeah, whatever post-corona measurement system we had, I'm sure we'll end up. You know, this whole thing is just so we get on the fucking metric system, isn't it?
It was all a plan from the beginning.
Yep, yep. All right, you win, metric people.
Yeah. Well,
go ahead, send out the vaccine. We will all agree to switch over to the metric system if you just call this whole thing off.
So if it's a metric system, you don't go for a pint of beer. What do you go for?
Oh, Lord. I don't even want to. I don't know if I want to live in this post-corona world.
What, like a 20, I don't know.
Hey, something milliliter, half liter,
moss
liter, all this. We use weird units at the brewery that are like, and probably other breweries do this too, but we use like grams per gallon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like hybrid metric imperial units when we're brewing stuff.
Hmm.
I'm looking forward to brewing again already.
Yeah, it, you know,
it's weird.
It is. You know, I just from my own personal perspective, you know, looking at all the, I want to get the word out as much as possible in the, you know, we talk about living in the moment and everybody mm-hmm. getting the word out for the beer to go stuff and everybody's doing it. And it's, you know, support the service industry, because the service industry really did, it's just taking it right on the chin.
They're the first line. Yeah.
Just
yeah.
got black, like a Mike Tyson, just
yeah.
right hook. And we're never prepared for something like that. Just blasted.
Yep.
Like
yep.
just no part of that punch was pulled at all and just gone. And
yes.
It's just, it really, to fathom how much that the service, like the two places that me and my wife work in, her with, she's a gymnastics coach. So obviously a sport where you are constantly spotting children to do flips and things.
Yeah.
Obviously that's not happening currently. And it shouldn't be, right? We've come to peace with that, obviously. But And then my day job / night job, whatever you want to call it, sports just disappeared.
Yeah. God. And I really didn't see that coming. I mean, I guess cause I'm in this industry, we all did, not for very long, but I mean, we at least when this Corona thing started coming, we were like, well, okay, well, service industry could really take a hit here, but it still came way too fast. But I didn't see the sports thing. I don't know. I just never thought of it. I always thought of sports, you know, it's sports entertainment. And I never think of those entertainers as human beings. I think of them as just, you know, like performers that will do that, that make millions of dollars, and they will go out there and doesn't matter what the conditions, doesn't matter what the rest of us are suffering through, they'll still find a way to get NBA games on. It's just crazy that that sports has stopped. That is really weird.
Yeah, I mean, when you think of the flu and NBA before all of this, I mean, obviously Corona, it's a kind of a flu-ish kind of thing. It's a virus. But before that,
it's just the flu. It's no different than the flu, don't you know?
Right. There's
still like one guy who's saying that right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the flu still has more victims.
Mm-hmm.
Are we still going to, sorry to beat this thing.
No, it needs to be said for historical record. So anytime, that's one thing I want to come across. I do look at this podcast as like a little, it's an audio time capsule. I've always said that, which now it's getting interesting. It's like, sure, there's a lot of new breweries opening, but man, when that thing hit, you know, people are looking at a graph of like whatever. This will be the one that they look at and they're like, what the F? What happened there? But the only thing we thought of with the flu or sickness and like basketball was Michael Jordan's flu game in the playoffs. And when he had one of the greatest games of all time.
Yeah.
It's something you just fight through. And
yeah, if only all of us were like Michael Jordan.
I know, right? The problem would be if he had COVID-19 when Scottie Pippen grabbed him there at the end.
That would have been the end of the NBA.
Yeah, because there were, probably 40,000 people there in the United Center.
Yeah.
Forget it. Everybody is infected.
Well, that is a good reminder, though, that it's cause for optimism that, hey, even if you get this thing, you might still have your best performance still could be ahead of you.
Yes. And listen, macro and micro, I think, John.
Yeah.
Hunter, I think
that's right. We can.
It's not cautiously optimistic, but you have to time your optimism in the right way. I don't know that we're to a point to be 100%, open up the floodgate of optimism all the way. But you got to let
let it trickle in a little bit.
Yeah, you definitely have to have a little bit of a trickle to keep let's not
open the floodgates and all go and convene and celebrate just yet.
Yeah, but even just from a spiritual, psychological, standpoint, you can't afford to let that go yet. Hang on to a bit, let it spritz, get a little spritz of optimism here and there of what can be. But we're literally right in the beginning of the middle of the start. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think we are in the beginning of the middle of the start right now, which is good, which means we've made a little bit of progress.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you just look at those numbers and you think, I don't know. Where can it go?
Doubling every 2 days.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I'm just, when I look I'm a little paranoid. I've had friends say, dude, we're fine. We can hang out and have a beer just at the house or something. And I'm like, no.
Well, it's okay. I'm of two minds about it. I mean, yeah, I am, we're not out of the woods yet. I don't even know if we're in the woods yet. Mm-hmm. But that's the thing. We're not in the woods yet. So maybe we still have like a little bit of fun before we're in the woods. Because when we're in the woods, it might be a long time before we're out of the woods. We might not even – sorry for those of you listening at home. We might not even get out of the woods. I mean, I hate to drain all the optimism out of this thing, but no. You know what I'm saying? We could be in a point where, like, you're not even allowed to hang out with your friend and have a beer. Mm-hmm. And you might, like, never get that chance again.
That's true. That is a possibility, too. We have to talk about that. That's where, because that's the mindset, right? And the problem is, you know, we're not in the woods yet necessarily. The bears can still run out of the edge of the woods and get you in.
Oh, yeah. You know? You can't go in the woods and attack a bear, but a bear can come out of the woods and attack you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I mean, you're not coming back from that.
Yeah. No, you're not.
No one will find you.
Nope. And so
bear has other bear friends.
Mm-hmm.
They'll dismember you and no one will even find any trace of you.
No, nope, they'll even eat the bones, I hear.
Oh yeah, man. You ever had bone marrow?
I have. It's delicious.
Yeah. Bears don't suck the bone marrow out of the bone. They just eat the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bears are savage.
To get to the bone marrow. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't know. I've
That's where we are right now.
Yeah. I just gotta hope but that
for now, you know, we're I am happy because we've gotten a lot of support, and I think you'll hear this from you can see it out there, and it is true. The community support for each people support for each other and for us, and I know for other small businesses is real. And I think it might be because we're not in the woods yet, you know, that it's maybe once we get into the woods, everyone's going to kind of hunker down. But right now, we had over 100 orders yesterday, and we had only put the site up for a few hours before the day started. And, you know, we just had so many people come that wanted to. I'd like to think it's all because they love our product, but a lot of it is they wanted to support our staff and our business, and I know they're going to other small businesses too. I went to Eureka Heights on the way home yesterday, and they had a great showing there, and you know, and all of this terrible stuff, like there is a lot of solidarity in the community, and I think people, it's pretty cool to see how much folks value these businesses and folks value the camaraderie mm-hmm. with each other. And it's been as terrible as it's been in so many ways. It's been good in a few ways. And like right now I'm very, very happy to see all the support we've gotten, and I'm happy for our employees who currently can't work, but are right now at the brewery, and they're, you know, enjoying, like I saw them yesterday when we started up after we finished canning. We hadn't had anyone in the brewery for 4 days, and, you know, it's kind of like turn the lights on, and employees came in and got in the groove of firing up the registers and getting orders ready to go. And there was just a little bit of, there was like a nice energy in there. People, you could tell that energy of like, oh, we can, this thing has life again for just a little bit. And we'll see how long it goes, but we can actually work and serve people beer.
Yeah.
It's in a very different way, in a very different context, but it's something.
Yeah.
And we're thankful for it.
Yeah. And I think it speaks to what the real product of a brewery is. I mean, yes, you keep the lights on and keep people employed by through the sale of beer, but what is really like the thing that, you know, I don't know about you, but what made me fall in love with craft beer, and especially Houston craft beer, is that when you give somebody a beer, when you have a beer with someone, you're not just, you know, consuming some liquid that gives you a little bit of nutrition. It's you're building a relationship with another human being. And that is every time you guys pour a pint, every time, you know, people laugh at a table with their friends or whatever it is, you've contributed to that, that spirit of that. And that's really y'all's product. You know,
I would like to think so. And I think some may say that that's all a myth, but there's a lot of people in on that myth, including me. So, and you, so yeah, I'm totally bought into that. And I think that's what, in a way, it's so hard about this, because so much of what we do is so personal, so interpersonal, that we want to have people, we want to open our doors and have people come in and give them a hug and share a beer with them. Of course, all this social distance is kind of the opposite of all that. So we are having to find different ways of connecting. And, you know, all of our orders that we're doing now are curbside. We come out to your car. We don't even want you to have to get out of your car. We have someone come out there with the gloves on and have a sanitized order that we put into your car. And it's also sterile, you know, that it's still there, and the love for beer and I think for the relationship is still there, but man, it's just so it's so sterile and kind of eerie in a way.
Yeah. That's one of the things, when you let that trickle of optimism, that's one of those things I look down, I'm like, all right, so what we're going to really appreciate on the back end of this thing is a slap on the back, fist bumps and hugs and all that, even from the most awkward of people that you're like, oh, this, I don't want this person to hug me. But even that, you know, I would take it from the most awkward person at, you know, that I work with or whatever at this point. Yeah.
I don't know. you got that trickle of optimism, but yeah. I think that there are going to be some lasting behavioral changes. And I think one of them is going to be the hugging is going to go.
Mm.
I think the handshakes are going to go.
Mm.
Now this is historical record, time capsule. And I could look like Paul Krugman said, in the late 90s that the internet was, overrated and was going to end up being no more important than the fax machine.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to be like, I never want to be like Paul Krugman, except I wouldn't mind winning a Nobel Prize, but I mean, predicting is hard, but I think that the handshake is definitely going to take a hit from this, and I don't think it's going to recover that easily.
Mm.
And I think that, and crowds also, like being in a crowded place, I don't know about you, Josh, but I am, I'm hyper aware of my personal space these days. And like anytime a person gets closer to me, I tend to back away from them.
Yes.
And so like, but this is new to me. And in the past, I would never think about that. If I'm in a bar and I'm in that, it's not a line, whatever you call that, that blob of people waiting to get it served at a bar.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think about, I didn't used to think about the fact that there's like 30 people within 5 feet or 6 feet of me, and they're all carrying germs, and one of them might get me sick, and I might get others sick. And I think there will be an element of germophobia that's going to stick with people.
Yeah, I probably, I don't think you can have something this big, this impactful happen and it not, you know, affect and change things in a major way, even if it's just the comfort level. I don't know though. People need hugs. People need physical contact.
They do.
And we've had,
but they do. But do we need all the hugs though? I'm sorry. I don't mean to hijack this COVID for my own agenda. But does everyone always need to be hugging everyone?
No. It listen. It had gone too far. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
There's the there's the hugging, I don't know. I think the social faux pas on certain people hugging other people had been, I don't know, in the name of inclusiveness and all of that. It just, some, we let maybe too many things in. We didn't we didn't control that that gate, as they say.
Pendulum is about to is going to swing the other way pretty hard.
Yeah. You know what else needs to, here's who we all need to look to in a time like this. When we get back to where we can actually share spaces, Buc-ee's, I think the government of this country, of obviously this state here in Texas, but the country and people all around the world need to look to Buc-ee's on how to build a bathroom that more people go to. I've complained about the partition that doesn't go to the floor and doesn't go to the ceiling when somebody's, speaking of, you've got growlers to go, but if somebody comes in to, and drops a growler, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, like, yeah.
You know, that guy who just, you know what? I know some of those people, and in a way I envy them that they're able to do that, but they shouldn't do that.
So you like those partitions that go all the way to the floor, huh?
I want Buc-ee style door closes, tile walls between me and the rest of humanity, and the thing that sprays out the bit of fresh air freshener and the sanitizer and the whole deal.
Well, I have a different solution to that problem, and this is going to get like real personal. So, is this only for the patrons, or is this going to be like for the whole World Wide Web to hear?
I think it should be for everybody.
Okay, fine. They can hear it.
Okay.
You should not. You shouldn't be doing that kind of business in public places. Hmm. I mean, that should be for an emergency only.
Yeah.
You know. So that's really the problem here. Is like, when you're in a restaurant, you're going in, dropping trowel and like emptying your colon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that's, why are you doing that?
I don't.
You do that at your house. Maybe if you work in an office, of course, you're going to do that at your office.
Yeah.
But like restaurants and gas stations, breweries, and bars, that's for number one.
Yes.
And that's if I were the I think there was a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode recently, and Larry said the same thing when he's opening his coffee shop. He said, no defecating in my on the premises here.
Yeah.
And that I agree with that.
Yeah, there needs to be I don't know, maybe if we could, you know what we need? We were talking about this the other day on Liquid Lunch about, with all the run on toilet paper, which I hope has subsided a bit. I think that craze was here.
People are crazy.
Yeah. I think we've gotten past that. I hope. But being the key word here, one, bidets, even at home, or those should be a thing. There needs to be development there. I think we are far behind here in America as far as undercare.
The technology has been there for a long, long time.
Yes. You just, speaking of Buc-ee's, you just look, or any other place that has a car wash that you drive through, you just turn that thing upside down, miniaturize it, and stick it on a bidet. Mm-hmm. And that's the model you need. You need soap that sprays, you need water that sprays, and then you need a big thing that dries the whole thing out. And then maybe put a little miniature catapult to throw a little powder, cornstarch, something up there. Boom, you're fresh for all the rest of the day. But I'm in 100%, no, nay, 200% agreement with you on the public dropping of trowel. And we've let people get too comfortable.
They really have. I don't understand that. I mean, get your digestion under control, you know?
Yes, you can time that.
How does that happen where you're out somewhere and all of a sudden... Yeah, I don't get it. And it's either you have no control of your, you may have the I'm not talking about the emergency. I think the problem is the first ever toilet that allowed for that in a public place. I'm sure they allowed for that because of emergencies.
Yeah.
You know, they said that, right? They probably debated over it. Oh, should we allow people to defecate at our restaurant? Well, you need to be able to do that in case there's an emergency, right?
Yeah.
Well, that emergency open the floodgates to all these people who just do it out of convenience now.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I don't have to clean up after myself. I'm just going to go in here and make this into my home.
Yeah.
And hang out here.
Here's what I think. So if I'm thinking of y'all's tap room and the way everything is laid out, one, maybe if we can get the female version of the urinal. You know, I don't know how that works. I don't know if that's, maybe we go with like the space shuttle type approach or something. I don't know. I don't know either.
I don't want to weigh in on that one. Yeah. I feel like I'm going to get in trouble.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. That's something for people much smarter than me to develop. But, but again, back to the but. A porta john way out on the corner of the property.
Or a porta Jill.
Either way, that is completely separated. And then there's that's like the shameful
emergency.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you could even build a fence around it so you can hide your shame. But I've been reading the Bible more now that we've been in seclusion, because I feel like
it's a good book.
It is. It's great. But what they would do back in the old, back in the Exodus, you know, if you were unclean, you had to separate yourself for a week. Like if you touched a dead body or whatever, right? If you had a what did they say? If you had a discharge of any kind, blood or something.
Of any kind,
like a cut or something. Okay. So I'm saying those people are then unclean. It's not that they're not loved, but they're unclean and need to understand what they did. So now they have to sit at the table, just on the outskirts of everybody else.
Afterward.
Yes. And then once they go home and shower up, they're free to come back. But since we know what happened, if they entered that area on the outskirt, on the very corner of the property, they are now unclean.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I think that would go over really well in today's day.
Yeah.
In today's era, yeah.
I mean, who could object?
No, it's the Bible. I mean.
Yeah. People, and yeah, that's, if we know anything, today's society, that's.
Yeah.
You point to the Bible and people are like, yeah.
You just say it comes from the Bible and no one will question you any further.
They don't. Matter of fact, they'll say, hear, hear.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we'll probably get written up for being so noble.
Mm-hmm.
Well, who knows? Maybe COVID is the opportunity to, I think a lot of people do see it as an opportunity to, you know, take advantage and push some of their own personal agenda. So maybe we should do the same.
Maybe. Yeah, it's not the it's not the opportunity we wanted, but maybe it's the one we needed.
Yeah.
Also watch.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Things have changed so much. And isn't it just crazy how quickly everything is changing?
I know. But I mean, isn't that today? Like how every, like trends and news cycles are so fast anyway. This kind of,
this is different though.
Yeah.
This is different.
It is different because I mean, it's real, right? All that other stuff.
Yeah, that's right. It's real. I mean, the trends and news cycles are totally made up. This is like, I mean, there's rumors going around now that we're going to be under martial law.
Yeah. I've heard such talk as well.
And, you know, oh man, it could be totally bullshit, but it also could be totally true.
Yeah.
And not only could it be totally true, but it could happen, like it could happen 24 or 48 hours from now.
Yes.
That's how quickly stuff changes. It is changing right now.
Yeah.
And it's got everyone in this mode of at this point, everything is unbelievable and everything is believable.
Mm-hmm.
So like anything that would normally be a rumor that you would just entertain just for fun could actually turn out to be true. And yes. it'll happen like without any notice.
Yes.
So it's wild. It's so wild.
Well, and that's, you know, it's really hard to track the what ifs. I mean, you can come up with a million of them, but I'm thinking.
Yeah, there's no limit. It is completely boundless.
Yeah, I think, like, you know, my mind always goes to, like, okay, I look at my family and my home and my self-preservation, and it goes.
You got a gun?
I do.
You got a lot of ammo?
Not enough. There's never.
Never enough.
Never enough. But I got these guns, these two tickets to the gun show, if anybody else.
Nice.
Yeah. Anyway, but my thought is, like, okay, so if things go, like if it's rumbling now, if that rumbling turns into the bottom dropping out, it's like, okay, well, how am I going to pay my rent or pay my mortgage? And it's like, oh, well, if I'm not able to pay my mortgage, how many other people can't pay their mortgage?
Yeah, no one can.
And
so
how is whoever, Quicken Loans or Wells Fargo, whoever, you know, wants to, are they going to try to take a home and then have thousands and thousands of homes on there that would bankrupt them as well?
Yeah.
It's like, so how far does it go? It's like, then, okay, well then, all right. So I'm not really in danger of losing my home anytime soon. So do I even make that next payment? Or do I save it for food or whatever the next emergency is? It's like,
yeah, I think a lot of people are making that same calculation and going, you know, what makes this so different is that everybody is in the same boat, or more, not everybody, but almost everybody's in the same boat. Mm-hmm. And it's not just in this country, it's worldwide. Mm. And so, these banks, I don't have any sympathy for them, and they're going to get bailed out. So there's no need to have sympathy for them, but they're not going to get paid on a lot of these loans.
Yeah.
I mean, I was thinking about, you know, on a smaller scale, landlords are not going to get paid. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are so, just think about commercial leases. I'll say I intend on paying our rent, but we're a small lean operation. We can afford to do it. There are a lot of operations that are not small and not lean, and there are a lot of operations that live paycheck to paycheck that as soon as their income stops, as soon as their sales stop, they don't have any money. Mm-hmm. And so they ain't paying rent. Like rent, the next rent is due. Next rent's due in 2 weeks, is going to be due 2 weeks after they were shut down.
Yeah.
There are so many businesses that are going to be, that will have zero money by then, that will be in the hole by then, and they're not going to pay rent.
Yep.
And I mean, they're already, this whole sales tax thing. I don't know. Did you follow the sales tax thing?
No. I mean, I'm hearing rumblings of lots of things, but.
So it was that. So in Texas, you collect sales tax and you pay it 20 days later. Mm-hmm. So the sales tax for February was due March 20th. So restaurants and bars, and bars have to do mixed beverage tax as well, which is basically an additional sales tax. Mm-hmm. So you're talking 15% of their sales. They collected it all in February, and they have to pay it to the state March 20th. Now, that is sales tax, technically speaking, that the customer owes, and the restaurant or bar simply collects it on behalf of the state. Mm-hmm. So during that time between when they collect it in February, say February 15th or February 28th, whatever day they made a certain sale, and the day they pay it, they're simply holding it on behalf of the state, and then they're supposed to go ahead and remit that on. Well, there was a huge movement petition to try and get the governor and the comptroller to say you don't have to pay a sales tax, because that was due on Friday. Mm-hmm. And that was due Friday, and these places were all shut down on Monday, and these places were all going, you know, holy shit, I'm not going to be able to pay this sales tax bill. Mm-hmm. And so they can't even come up with that sales tax payment. They're not going to pay rent. Rent's another 10 days away, and yeah, they're going to be shut down for another 10 days. And there's going to be a lot of more bills that they incur between now and then. I think there's going to be a lot of businesses that'll either say, I'm not going to pay it and see what happens. There'll be other businesses that say, you know what, I'm not going to be able to make it for 6 weeks or 2 months or however long this is. I'm going to just close up shop, take all the money out, see you later, and I'll be gone before the first of the month.
Yeah.
So I think if you're a landlord that own several properties, you're going to have trouble collecting on. They know that. I mean, not like I'm telling them something they don't already know. For all you landlords listening, I'm sure you're sad to hear my John Holler's prediction for you, but I think they're going to have a tough time.
Yeah.
And their predicament is that they get squeezed because they have to collect from all these ragtag business owners, and then they have to turn around and pay the bank. And the bank doesn't have any patience for this kind of stuff.
Nope.
So I think you go bankrupt real quick unless you have a very gracious bank that's willing to let you – that's willing to forgive your loans.
Yeah, but what happens when – so if the business owners don't pay the tax – and then obviously then they can't, or if they do, it's only for the next, that revenue for the state is gone by the shutdown, right? So what does that sales tax go to pay for?
Yeah, I know. So that's why, so the state said no. So there was a petition of 55,000 signatures, restaurant industry, bars, everyone was like really pushing for this because they wanted the relief. And the state said no. And I think the state had pretty reasonable grounds for saying no, which they basically said, hey, look, this is February sales tax. You know, you collected it and now you need to hand it over to us. There's no reason why you get to keep that sales tax. And yeah, and I think the real reason what you're alluding to is the state is going to be in big trouble with this whole thing. Like the state's expenses are going up right now. I mean, they're going to have a bunch of unemployment claims to pay out. They're going to have so much rebuilding to do, you know, all these healthcare, probably public health facilities they're going to be building. And in the meantime, their tax revenue is going to nosedive because their tax revenue is sales tax. And sales tax is based on sales, and sales of everything are plummeting. So they had no appetite for giving a sales tax holiday for an entire month. And I don't think people are probably going to push for them to do it next month too. And I think they'll probably have a similar response.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to be, we were talking to our lobbyist about it from the Brewers Guild, and our lobbyist said, look, you know, we'll push for some of these things, but just to warn you guys, the state already understands how big of a predicament this whole thing is going to put them in. And they're not going to have a whole lot of appetite for tax cuts.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, they're going to come one way or the other. If this goes on long enough. You know, it's like it's either cut them or there's just not going to be any tax revenue.
Yeah, that's right. People, I know a business who they own several bars, and they said as soon as they got the shutdown on Monday, they said we're not paying anything now. They're like we are not paying a single bill. I don't care what the bill who is from, but any bill that comes is not getting paid, and we're not paying it until everything restarts. As far as we're concerned, everything is stopped. So rent, taxes, you know, whatever fees, whatever, anything, we're not paying it. So pretty brazen, but I think that's more or less, there are a lot of businesses that are going to operate that way. And some of them, we don't have a choice.
Yeah. It's brazen, but it's a bleak situation when you just start to follow those trails. It all.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
And I think that's why everybody kind of understands it. And you can talk about it a bunch, but eventually it becomes overwhelming to even this on the scope of how much this is costing. And like, you know, the federal government talking about sending, you know, all Americans, you know, $1,000. And it's like, well, where's that money coming from? And
yeah,
I don't, you know, how's this going
to
work?
It's got to be paid somehow. And, that's one way to do it is just to pay everyone to stay home. And I'm politically normally, I don't like those big heavy-handed solutions, but it's at least pretty simple to do it that way. Simpler than all the usual bailout stuff of like, all right, you want to stop the economy, you want to stop everyone from moving around and stop everyone from working. Okay, do it. Stop everyone and send everyone a check. And that's the solution. Mm-hmm. The problem with that, though, is like how long? For how long do you do it?
Right. I mean, there is a very limited, like you can see it. It's like, okay, this is, it's like on, did you ever see the movie Brewster's Millions with, what's the comedian? John Candy's in it. And then, the guy that lit himself on fire smoking crack.
That sounds great.
He did do it. Yeah. I can't believe I can't think of his name. Stand-up comedian back in the 80s. Richard Pryor. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Great movie. Have you ever seen that movie?
No. It sounds awesome.
Oh, no. Okay. So Brewster's Millions, it's a remake of one that was from back in like the early 50s or 60s or something like that. Early 60s, maybe. But this Brewster is the nephew, like long-lost nephew of this, you know, multi-millionaire. And he's a minor league baseball player. He doesn't have a whole lot of goals in life, just keeps playing minor league baseball or whatever. And his long lost uncle's like, as he's dying, he's on making this video. He's like, I'm going to make you sick of money. And so he has to spend $30 million in 30 days. And this is back in, you know, 86 or 87 to get the $300 million by the end of it. But he can't have any assets by the end of it. And there's these other rules. But they show them when he goes through the, you know, they show the money trickling down as he's trying to spend it all in the
yeah.
I don't want to give too much away. Brilliant movie. Love that movie. So if you're looking for something to watch, yeah, Brewster's Millions.
Oh man, we are looking for some good stuff to watch. We are we just like the last couple of nights we watched I know this doesn't sound good, but we've been trying to watch Lawrence of Arabia, and it's been tough.
Yeah. Is it tough because you like the download because the internet is?
No, it's just like, I don't know. I mean, I know it's the movie is artistically, critically acclaimed. It's just has not been very entertaining for us. And it probably says more about us than it does about the movie, of course, because everyone says the movie is so great. And it's been on a list that I've wanted to watch it for years and years. And finally we were like, you know what, let's watch Lawrence of Arabia. Uh-huh. Man, it's dated,
mm-hmm,
and it's long.
Yes. Well, all that, when was that? Was that 50s?
60s.
Okay.
I think it was like 60 or 61.
Okay, so early 60s. So it's kind of like, you know, the Ten Commandments. All the acting is way over the top.
Yeah. Yeah, it is way over. It is way over the top.
And it's big for the time, but like it just doesn't translate. Nobody talks like that anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I never seen the Ten Commandments. Is that a similar?
Yes.
Like epic movie, yes.
It's epic, but it's like they know that they're in the middle of an epic because all their gestures and all their everything, you know, it's like, okay, all right, can y'all just settle down? How many calories are you burning just telling somebody
seriously
to go hither?
And yeah, we have another 3 hours to go here. We know this isn't like, you know, there's a lot more to it.
Yeah, I remember back in the day, back when I was a kid and it would come on, you know, network TV around Easter, around this time, it would always be our Easter or Passover and all that, you know, kind of coincides.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be a two-night event or a two-week event or whatever, like each weekend. So it's that long to where edited version was, you know.
Yeah, I feel like with Lawrence, I'm like, we started it, we have to finish it. It's one of those just grit it out and say that we've seen it. But we're already looking forward to watching something like Brewster's Millions.
That's a good palate cleanser. We watched my daughters are they're 11
13?
Yeah, 13 and 11. The twins are 11. Okay. So we're looking for fun stuff to watch that I can, my wife and I will want to watch too. Cause a lot of the YouTube videos that they watch all day are like,
oh my God,
there's this girl that redoes squishies. Like she makes them over, and I applaud her craftsmanship and creativity, but it's just not for me.
Right.
I don't know. But anyway, so I can only be in the room for so much time for that. But we found Super 8. Have you seen Super 8?
No.
It's J.J. Abrams directed it, I believe, but a thriller, but PG-13, a little language, but other than that, just a fun movie. It's kind of in the same vein as, not quite as gritty as Cloverfield, but in that same vein. So
good to know. Yeah. All right, we'll put that on the list too.
Have you seen Cloverfield?
No.
Oh, that was a good one too. That one and
isn't that like a scary thriller?
Yeah, but it's like just what you need.
Catherine doesn't like scary thriller stuff.
It's not like, well, okay, she might not like it then, but she might. I mean, my girls watched it.
Okay.
So
okay, I'll tell her that.
Yeah, the twins were 10 at the time for Cloverfield, but the second one. Was it 10 Cloverfield Lane or whatever? It's in that same genre. It's not like a direct sequel, but John Goodman is in it, and and it's just the tension that builds. It all takes place in like one small little area, and it's just the tension. The way they build the tension is really good.
Man, I feel like I need to get like a long list of movies from you, because I think you are really a movies guy.
I do. I like movies.
And shows too, I think. You're a consumer of media.
I am. You know what? I feel like I've watched the best of most things. I'm not watching as many shows.
I think you're a smart consumer of media.
Like now I'm watching, more YouTube, more like debates and, things like that. So I don't know. Super 8 was
cool.
Yeah. So,
what you got going on the rest of the weekend?
Tomorrow. Okay. Oh, here's a challenge for me tomorrow. I've not done a lot of barbecue, and I've done ribs and things like that, but I've tried a brisket one other time and it didn't turn out all right. It was a long time ago. So I'm going to reattempt a brisket.
Cool.
And I'm intimidated by it, but I'm excited by it at the same time. And it's actually got me, now that when I just say, oh, I'm going to cook a brisket, I get a little nervous.
Yeah, you
gotta
do it. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah. So you have a smoker?
I do.
Cool.
I do have a smoker, but I'm not sure this may be like, again, not done a lot of briskets. It's one of those smaller drum style smokers.
Cool.
So I think it'll work, but it's not, I don't know. Well, I'll figure it out, hopefully.
You got the brisket all rubbed down and everything yet?
I'm going to do that here in a little while. Turns out I got a lot of extra time to do a lot of prep.
Yeah. I mean, so much time.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I'm working. My new work schedule is 2 days on, 4 days off.
Oh, all right.
So, cool. Yeah, it's you go to work and it's like, Mondays. And then halfway through, you're like, hump day. And then by the end of it, you're like, hey, tomorrow's Friday. It's awesome. So bright side.
That might be another thing that sticks, you know,
it
not working.
Yeah. Listen, the sports thing, I don't know how much longer, you know, you might, I heard a little thunder outside my door. I don't know how much longer you got to talk.
No, it's my pavers are, that ship has sailed.
Okay.
That's all right though.
Okay. We'll get them tomorrow. Actually, it's supposed to rain for the next like 4 days.
Yeah, it's all right. We got time.
I'm getting a phone call. Hold on. Let me decline this. Probably
probably Casey from Eureka Heights.
Yeah, it might be. No, it's probably about my car warranty or something. So anyway, but what was I going to say? Oh, the sports thing.
Yeah.
If that if they say tomorrow, all right, we're going to be done with the, shelter in place or social distancing or whatever to May 15th, it's still going to take them like 30 days to get sports back. Cause that's what all the major leagues have said. They have to go through a bit of a training period, but baseball, nobody's doing anything, hockey, basketball, all that. So, there's a time period where on the backside of this thing, we might have the most epic sports time we've ever had. You know, they got to wrap up the NBA season. So who knows how they do that? Hockey the same way.
Oh, everything at the same time.
Yep. And then baseball comes back for a shortened season. So every game means a lot more. And then football's right. We'll be right on the cusp of the beginning of football and the draft and all that kind of stuff. And so if it doesn't go too long, it's going to be, you might not hear a podcast from me for a while. I might be so busy with all of that.
Yeah.
But no, I'll still make time to do something. But it'll be, it could be like sports wise, could, that might be the thing that brings everybody back together, even if we have to watch from home. That could be one of those things where people coalesce around all of that. Or the flip side of that is if it takes too long, there's some networks like the people that like Sinclair who bought all the RSNs, they were already in $11 billion worth of debt for those. And they're not getting any revenue right now.
Yeah.
And even somebody like Disney that owns ESPN, Disney, think about the big hit they took. No more theme parks, no more, you know, any of that stuff. Yeah.
You need a lot of Disney Plus subscribers to carry that load.
Yeah, they can't shoot movies. They can't release movies. People aren't going to movie theaters. People aren't going on cruises. And then, you know, no sports on ESPN. So, you know.
I know, man. It's the possibilities are endless for how much trouble some people could be in with this thing.
Yeah. And it was unfathomable. I think I got that out right. But you know, it's the thing. We're like kind of, we're on the cusp of, you know, what happens in the next few weeks, and it could go epically awesome or epically bad. And I wish everybody had an orchestra playing underneath their conversation, so we knew what was about to happen. You know, it's like, what's the the strings just got ominous. Yeah, but then maybe the key change and they break to a big, you know, major chord, and it's like, oh, there we go, that's what we needed. Anyway,
man, do you remember the Red Wedding episode from Game of Thrones?
I do.
That orchestra playing, oh my god. Yeah. My heart was like, you just knew that was so perfect. You just knew something was wrong.
Yes, that's, if anything, okay, so orchestra members are probably, you know, not doing a whole lot right now. If they could just channel whatever is in the air, not the virus, but, you know, the feeling.
Yeah,
the
spirit. Don't channel that. Yeah, get rid of that.
And then just start the string players, especially, like, which way are these chords going? Maybe that could help us figure it out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think we could.
Maybe.
All right.
All right. Well, John, that's a good little hour.
Good quick sip. Yeah.
Yeah. This is a full pint. This is a full on episode. So
this is a big gulp.
Yeah. I didn't do before this, and this will be a good segue for Patreon. One, thank you to you and everybody who has been a supporter.
Oh man, you're killing me
now, but, I'm not for through all this, what little, you know, I'm not asking anybody to give money to a podcast at this time. What I could do if Jeff Bezos comes across the podcast, I can set
that'd
up
be a good patron.
Yeah, I'll set up a PayPal can do like a one-time whatever. So if somebody just has, they're sitting on a pile of gold.
Yeah, you need Jeff Bezos or who's the HEB guy, Harold Butts.
Yeah, if Harold Butts is listening.
Yeah, man, come on, Harry.
Yeah.
Pay the way for the rest of us who are struggling right now.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep doing shit because I've figured it out. Like, even if all of my income went away, as long as I still have electricity, which I can probably plug into my neighbor's outdoor outlet to charge my phone, I can still put out episodes of the podcast. I'll just switch everything to just the Anchor feed or something like that. That's free, and I can still do it. So, you know. It would have
you are podcast Jesus, Josh.
I don't know about that.
Saintly.
Yeah. More like, I'm trying to think what saint would I, more like, Zephaniah. Minor prophet.
I haven't been reading much of the Bible.
Yeah. I'm just saying minor prophet that most people have not heard about.
Okay. Okay. But how modest of you.
Anyway. All right. So, hey man, if as things develop, let's do more episodes because you're always quick-witted and full of opinion. And
my wife really appreciates you being an outlet for me to talk to.
Hey, consider it. Listen, seriously, I say this a lot, but open invitation. Maybe I just, maybe you're just co- like, if you're, you know, if things get really shut down, I'm co-hosts are always, we can do this thing together.
All right. Done.
All right.
All right. So let's talk again in a little while.
Okay. We'll do that. Hey, everybody, John Holler and Holler Brewing. And so everybody just keep up with what's going on, and they do have beer to go right now. So go get some, you know, you said you want, we mentioned Krugman. And he'd won a Nobel Prize, but he's never won a GABF medal. So,
oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would not, and I would definitely not trade that GABF medal for some lowly Nobel Prize.
Yeah. They don't even mean anything anymore. They give them out to just like whoever.
Yeah. And GABF medals are not so easy to get. That's, believe me, kids.
Yeah. How many people do they put up for Nobel Prizes in each category? You know?
Oh yeah, not nearly as many as there are not nearly as many entrants as for GABS.
Yeah, yeah.
So. Not nearly. Yeah, they do. A lot of them do have beards, though.
Yeah.
So oh, there's that. A similarity there.
Maybe they just picked the wrong calling, or maybe the wrong. Whatever. Either way. All right. Well.
All right, man.
We'll talk to you later.
Yeah. Thanks, Josh.
All right. Bye, John.
See ya.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's John Holler. I'll just wrap up real quick. And again, for the Patreon supporters, guys, I'm going to post a little video just saying thank you on that. But I think I am going to just post these episodes. They're needed. And, you know, I mean, I, who doesn't like getting money? But, you know, we're all in the same boat together. So everybody keep your money and support yourself and we'll get through this together. And I guess I can set up a PayPal if anybody does know Jeff Bezos and he just loves beer and you know, I don't know. Anyway, it is what it is. It all happens how it needs to happen. So John Holler, he's the best. Check out your local breweries for a beer to go here in the Houston area and beyond, and just, you know, keep watching what's happening. We'll just keep talking about stuff here. So for John Holler, I'm Josh Stewart. Thanks to all of y'all for listening as I fumble with my phone to try to get to the to the sound effects to see if I can't not have to edit this last part. But anyway, so for John, I'm Josh. This is Interbrews.
This is Interbrews.
The preceding has been a presentation of Stewed Productions.